Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Walking in Faith. Abraham had the opportunity to meet the legendary Noah and his son Shem. Abraham never got into idolatry, but believed and worshipped the true God of heaven. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God, and it is obvious that Abraham received faith in God from all the things that were done by God from the time of Adam down to Noah. The Bible lays out the good and the bad about Abraham and Sarah, and how they lied in an effort to save Abraham's life, and how they tried to conceive a child through their unbelief. But God did not abandon them, and visited Abraham twice to build up his faith. The ultimate test came when God asked for the sacrifice of Isaac. All the lies, fear, and unbelief in Abraham's life had by this time been replaced with absolute faith in God, and he obeyed the command, and this is why the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Come and join us for this exciting story of a man and his wife and their journey with God. This message is entitled, The Man That Walked Into the Future. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on September 18th, 2011. And I'm glad that you are here today, and we're going to be spending time again in the Word of God. I want to speak to all our cyber members. We have here many people watching us live, and then during the week, for years to come, we have others that are watching us. And let me say this to you, that we want to make a difference in the end times. I believe we're living in the last days before the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And we want to make a difference. And it's great to have you watch us, but if you only watch us and you do not help us out financially, you're actually shooting us in the back, so to say, because we need help together. Let me say this to you cyber members. You're the one that have the gasoline, so to say, the people in the church here are giving, but you're the one that are going to propel us into a more worldwide ministry. So if you're regular watching us, you haven't given, would you consider today to send a gift and to simply say, I stand with you not only in prayer, but also with finances. Thank you very much. I would like for you to turn up with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. That's the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that we're going through. And we're looking upon the faith heroes. And today we have come to Abraham and his wife Sarah. We read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, I want to read that again because I really want you to catch this now. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither or where he was going. As we look upon faith, what is faith? Well, every one of you exercised faith this morning. When you came into this building, I didn't see anyone picking up a chair, examining the chair to see if the chair was okay, and then sat down on it. In faith, you found a chair. In faith, you sat down thinking, this chair will hold me up. Now, when you drive home today in faith, you're going to turn the key in your ignition in your car. And in faith, you're going to believe that the car is going to start up. When you drive down a road in faith, when you see a green light, in faith, you're not going to panic, but you're going to go through that green light in faith, knowing that everybody else will stop. That's faith. Now, we use faith every day. But when it comes to walk with God, suddenly we says, well, I don't know about this. You know, he might just let me down. Abraham went, and he did not know where he was going. I want to read from my outline, just a little background here. Abraham was a 10th generation after Noah. Noah, 10 generations back. And Noah actually lived 51 years before he died, after Abraham was born. Thus, it is very likely that Abraham met Noah in person and was able to talk to him. Noah's son Shem died 26 years after the death of Abraham. Noah's entire bloodline was alive when Abraham was born. Therefore, Abraham must have been given a written account of life before the flood in the book of Enoch by his father, Terah. Now let's turn now to Genesis 11:25. If you want to look upon the mindset of Abraham and his family, that's Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 25. And we read, and Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generation of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai's daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran, and dwelt there. Most of you are familiar with these verses, but I want to point out here to you that the first man that God called here was Terah. Terah worshiped God. He was not into idolatry. And actually, Terah had been called by God to go to Canaan and take his family with him. But something happened to Terah. We read in the next verse, and the days of Terah were not 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Somehow, this man got stuck in the city of Haran. And he was never able to get into the promised land. Many of us have been called into the promised land. Now, what is the promised land? The promised land is that you got saved, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that you begin to walk supernaturally with God. That is the promised land. God has promised us he'll be with us. If you are tied in, God said he will bless us. And we can walk in his promised land. But how many people do you know that simply made it to Haran, but never into the promised land? Let me tell you a secret I learned years ago. If the devil cannot defeat you, if the devil cannot defeat you, he will defeat somebody that you love. And then he will take that person and hang it up in front of you saying, look at this sorry looking thing. Now, you got defeated. And many people, because of wives, husbands, children, relatives, were defeated and walked away from Jesus. We get defeated and we get stuck in Haran. I learned this after I learned this thing about defeat. And I'm going to give you the slogan. Why should I throw away my inheritance in the kingdom of God because someone is disobedient? Why should you throw away your inheritance, your place in the kingdom of God, because someone became a jerk and did some bad things? Let them fall by the wayside. But we should keep our eyes upon Jesus. Let's turn to Genesis 12, 1 through 5 right now. That's the next chapter up. And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get you out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Think about now the setting of time. 10 generations after the flood, people that begin to multiply again. And then suddenly now God comes down to Abraham. And he tells this man who is now 75 years old. 75 years old. He says, I want you to get out of this place. I want you to go to Canaan. And I'm going to use you to bless all families on the entire earth. How many of you have said this? Who am I? I don't know nothing. I don't have an education. I'm intimidated. I have an insecurity, inferiority complex. How many of us have not been so beaten down by the devil that we simply don't dare to think that God could use us? It's sad. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and his soul that had gotten, that he had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And to the land of Canaan they came. Now this is what I wrote. Abraham was not a poor man. He had accumulated much wealth in Haran, in cattle, and he had some 1,000 men and women with him. We know from Genesis 14:14 he had over 300 fighters. And these men had wives, and every year children were born to them. Thus Abraham had to make sure that his cattle produced enough sustenance to feed this large group of people. Isn't it amazing, we never read in the Bible, that Abraham said, now God, I got 1,000 people employed, and we're going to walk through a desert land. How am I going to feed these people? How am I going to do this? You don't find that. Abraham had faith. If God has called you, he will supply you. If God has called you, whatever it is, he will make sure that you have the sustenance that you need. But you see, we have a hard time to trust God. There are no superheroes. You know, when I came into the church 1965, I thought, you know, that everyone in the Bible was a perfect person. But I want to show you here today from the Word of God that there are no superheroes. And in Genesis 12:10, we read this. That's Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that you are a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it should come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see you, that they shall say, This is his wife, they will kill me, but they will save you alive. Say, I pray you, you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and my soul shall live because of you. Abraham had faith to leave Haran. But when he came into this place, he began to have fear. Understand this. There are times you got faith. There are times you have fear. None of us are perfect. And now Abraham got into the flesh and began to reason. I want to live. So I'm going to say, this is my sister. The king might take her and marry her. I will lose my wife, but at least I'm alive. Abraham did not think that God could protect him from the haters. Listen closely now. We're coming in the end times. We're going to come in, but it's going to be the mark of the beast. We're going to come in, but it's going to be all kind of difficulties. And there's going to be decrees made that you're going to have to report to a certain place. And there you will be given a mark of the beast, which I believe will be a microchip. That's my personal belief. And there you will have to take an allegiance. The question now is this. When that day comes, will you have the faith that you will simply say, well, I had faith for living so far, and I believe that my God shall supply all my needs and take care of me. I am not going to take the mark of the beast. We need to begin to pray right now that God give us that faith. Give us that faith. And then in the rest of the chapter here, we find out that sure enough, when the princes found out how beautiful she was, they told the Pharaoh, and she was taken to Pharaoh's house. Verse 16, he entreated Abraham well for his sake, and had sheep and oxen, he asked, and men servants and maid servants, and she asked, and camels. He had a lot. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. Listen, if God has called you, God will protect you. Pharaoh suddenly had a hand of God upon him. He was plagued. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that you have done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold your wife. Take her and go your way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. What an embarrassment it must have been for Abraham. Abraham now, the father of faith, recognized, well, God was able to protect me. And you would think that he would never do that again. Now turn to Genesis 20. That's Genesis chapter 20. How many of you have sinned twice? Maybe three times? You know, we will never get rid of this flesh. There's a difference between people that sin and are defeated and people that sin and are not defeated. If you sin and you immediately go to God and confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you, you are forgiven and restored. But so many times the devil comes to you and says, well, you know, you cannot ask for forgiveness for this. You have committed the unpardonable sin. This is something that God cannot forgive. And the spirit of guilt and shame comes over you. And you draw back. And the devil then simply hammers you. When we sin, let's come boldly to the throne of God and say, my Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow it. Forgive me. And you will. In Genesis chapter 20, now we pick it up in verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man. For the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she's my sister, and she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in innocence of my hands have I done this. God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that you did this in your integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sin against me. Therefore suffered I you not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man, his wife, who is a prophet. He shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know that you shall not surely die. You know you that you shall surely die, you and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things to their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Verse 11. And Abram said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Verse 11 is a key verse here that you and I want to know today. Abraham said, because I was in a heathen nation, they did not worship me. They didn't worship God there. Therefore, he said, I feared because God was not in control. If you are in China and arrested, if you are in an Islamic country and arrested and taken to prison, notice God is there. God is as powerful in Saudi Arabia as he is in America or any other place. There's no place on this earth we have to fear. Have faith and simply believe that my God is able. He is all powerful. He's Almighty God. I don't have to fear. We need to put that in our minds now, before persecution comes. Listen to what I wrote here in my box. Superstition had infected the people living on the earth, so they left the true God and served idols. Each nation had his own gods. Abraham had a fear that the true God would not have power over a nation with a territorial God. God is going to be with us whatever. Now, Abraham and Sarah still made another mistake. Turn to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Now, this took place 2 years after Abram left Haran. He was 77 years old. And now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abraham, "Behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray you, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Here's Abraham now, man of faith. His wife said, "Look, Abraham, I'm getting old. I don't have the periods anymore. You know, we're no longer together, son. We got to panic. We got to do something. Abraham, let's do something in the flesh. Here's my maid servant. Get her pregnant. That way we will have a child." I want you to see something now. This time, God did not come down and said, Abraham, don't touch that woman. Trust me. God allowed Abraham to sin, to be disobedient, to learn a lesson. He did not abandon them, but he learned a hard lesson. How many of you and I, over the years, we sinned, we knew it was not right, and we are paying today for it. Today, we are paying for things that are consequences. The thing to do is, don't stay there, but simply turn back to God. In Genesis chapter 15, we read this. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your exceeding great reward." God is saying out to Abraham, do not fear. Do what I'm telling you. God is speaking to you and me today saying this, do not fear. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you have done some things that are not right, but don't fear. I will redeem you. You might not be able to go where I wanted to go, but I have a different plan for you. God made sure that Abraham here was not going to change. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what would you give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, Behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This shall not be your heir, but he shall come forth out of your own bowels, shall be your heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now to the heaven and tell the stars, if you be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abram recognized that he was weak. He recognized he had faith to a degree. But he had faith in God. Don't have faith in yourself. Don't say, you know, if everybody else will mess up, I will not. Have faith in God and no faith in you. Because even you will let yourself down at times. We are flesh, saved by grace, but we got to put our faith in Him, in God. In this chapter, you will find this, that God changed His name from Abraham to Abraham, which means father of multitudes. 15 years later, he was 90 years old, God spoke this to him. God instructed Abraham how to walk, and he also changed the name of Sarah. Sarah means contentious. Now, that's a nasty name for a girl. Hey, contentious, get over here. And God changed it to Sarah, which means princess. If you look at Genesis chapter 17 now, that Genesis 17, if you read this, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. 99 years old. Today, I called my uncle in Sweden and wished him happy birthday. He is today 99 years old. And I thought about my uncle. He said, well, I don't hear too well. I do all this, that, and that. I thought about, well, you know, Abraham was 99 years old. When God said, Abraham, you haven't got started yet. And then God said this. I will make my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. Notice now, God said, Abraham, I am making a covenant with you. When you accepted Christ, it was not you making a covenant with God. It was God making a covenant with you through Christ. Christ is our Messiah. Christ paid for our sins. Christ died on a cross, rose again the third day. He is the foundation. We can lay no other foundation. You and I have a covenant better than Abraham. We have a covenant with Jesus Christ. I'm not holding Jesus' hand. He's holding mine. I'm not trying to hang on to him. He's hanging on to me. There's a difference. And if you learn this, we can learn to lean upon Jesus. In Genesis 18, we read this. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in a tent door in the heat of the day. Now, this was Jesus coming. And I want you to see the heartbeat of Jesus. Jesus knew that 25 years was a long time. He knew it was hard. Jesus didn't have to go to see Abraham. He could have simply said, get Sarah pregnant, and that's it. But Jesus came to Abraham as a friend. Jesus will come to you and me as a friend. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass me not away, I pray you, for your servant. Let the little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch you a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After you pass on, for therefore you come to your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. I want you to see the setting here. Abraham lived in a tent. He always lived in a tent. Tents got dirty, dusty. Here come Jesus and two angels walking down the road. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator. And Abraham is offering him some water, lukewarm, taken from a well. He's offering some bread and a dinner. And Jesus could have simply said, look, Abraham, you know, Abraham, I got a splendor in heaven. You know, I got so much coming out of my ears. I just came down to say hi to you, Abraham. But here's what Jesus said. He said, yes, I will sit down and I will sup with you. I will eat your food. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth. Now you ladies know that. She didn't have any ready-made bread. She had to bake it. That takes at least, now this is not, you know, had just a stove, just some firewood underneath. Was it taking at least an hour? And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he had butter and milk in the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. It probably took, now if you go to a restaurant and you order chicken today, and the waiter say, you know, the waiter says, you know, fine, you know, we're going to get a chicken. And then the waiter goes back there and says, hey, go back out in the yard and kill a chicken. Pluck him, get him ready, cook him. You know, you'd be gone by the time they give you the chicken. That would take at least 2 hours. Jesus just sat there and spent time. I want to give you a bonus scripture right now. I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3. That's Revelation chapter 3. This is a beautiful scripture. Revelation 3. If you pick it up in verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Today, Jesus is not able to eat the meal with us. But he will fellowship with us when you're at home in the car and you're worshiping him and praising him. His presence is there. Let him in. Worship him. Praise him. Let him be there with you. He wants to spend time with you. Now, back to Genesis chapter 18. We find us here in verse number 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in a tent. Now she had her own tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah that the man or woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I pleasure my Lord being old also? And it was unto Abraham. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I be sure to bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. I want you to see now the heart of Jesus. He caught Sarah now. She said, no, I didn't laugh, but she did. She had unbelief. But God, you see, knows that we are weak. He works in our hearts. He works despite our unbelief. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. And Sarah got a child, had a very healthy baby. Chapter 21, verse 1. Chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. I want to be delicate here, but I want you to see that Abraham and Sarah right now must have come to the place where they said, okay, we're going to believe God. We're going to have sex again. Abraham could not simply sit in a rocking chair and Sarah in another chair that says, okay, God, make that woman pregnant. They had to come together in faith and saying, okay, if God said it, we will do our part. God wants you and me to be partners. God will do the heavy lifting, but he wants us to participate. And every very less. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham his son his old age at the set time which God has spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Isaac is Hebrew. Isaac means laughter. Can you imagine there? Sarah, about 100 years old. And here she comes with a little baby. And the lady came up and says, now, what's his name? Laughter! I got a baby! She was happy. When was the last time you got excited for the Lord? And simply said, you know, this is exciting. Sometimes I feel at church it's like being in the morgue. You know, they're all dead in the morgue. The people are not dead in the morgue, but, you know, they're looking at the dead person. And, you know, they all sit there, you know, knowing this, you know, maybe next time it's me being slapped. We need some joy. Excitement. Are you saved? One person said yes. What about the rest of you? Do we have any saved people in here today? Are you going to heaven? Is heaven a nice place? Are you excited about that? Well, let's show some excitement then. Can I hear one? Amen? Wow. You guys are coming alive. Let me tell you Genesis chapter 22 now. Genesis 22nd chapter. This is the ultimate test. And I really want to take a deep, long look upon this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I would tell you of. Men, how would you feel if God would speak to you in the middle of the night and said, I want you to take your son? Don't talk to your wife. Get up in the morning and go and sacrifice him to me. Abraham now has waited 25 years. He got a son. I can tell you this, that Sarah, she was like a tigress around that son. No one touched Isaac. If Abraham would have come to Sarah and said, look, Sarah, we're going to go and I'm going to sacrifice Isaac, I believe Sarah would have killed him. She would have said, over my dead body. And I want you to see this here, that Abraham did not confer with his wife. He simply said this, we're going to go. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son then clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I believe that those were the 3 days, hardest days of Abraham's life. Every step getting closer to the moment he had to kill his son. But Abraham now had got his faith riveted. And Abraham said to his young men, abide you here with the ass, and I'd rather go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? At that moment, I could see Isaac just looking up at his dad and say, Dad, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where is the lamb? Abraham must have died at that moment. But here's what he said. He said this, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Abraham said, Now, God will supply the lamb. I don't know how. I don't know when. But he will. And they came to a place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there. Laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon wood. Isaac must have been about maybe a young teenager. He didn't fight his father. He had faith. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And when Abraham had a hand up with a knife, that's when God said, Hold it, Abraham. This is what God will do with you and me many times. He will test us. And we will not see the salvation until the last moment. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad. Neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son. You only son from me. God at this time and Abraham knew that he had total faith in God. That's a place where you want to come to. That's a place when you say, Well, I might be unemployed. I might have lost this or lost that or whatever it is. I might have been told I got cancer. I might have been told I got this or that. That's the time when you simply rivet your eyes upon Jesus and say, I have faith. And in faith, we're going to have the victory. God supplied the ram. But most of all, Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. And I want you today to appreciate our Heavenly Father. How do you think our Heavenly Father must have felt when he sat on the throne in heaven looking down on the earth and he saw him taking his only begotten son and the Jewish leadership spit on him, plucked his beard off, manhandled him, then took him to Pilate and the Romans, and the Romans took his clothes off and whipped him until the blood was oozing all over his body. How do you think the Father in heaven must have felt? And then he saw him struggled to go to Golgotha. Another man had to carry the cross. What do you think the Father felt when he put the nails in his hands? And they raised him up. And they mocked him and said, If you be the Son of God, come on down. Why? Do you think the Father did nothing? I tell you why. God the Father saw you and me and all other humans. And he says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. And I'm willing to save you by giving up my only begotten son. Do you appreciate the cross? Do you appreciate your Heavenly Father? Do you understand how much the Father suffered when Jesus was crucified? And then Jesus said, It is finished. Let me take you back to Hebrews chapter 11 there. Hebrews the 11th chapter. If you read the same verse again we read before. By faith, Abraham, when he was called into a place which is he should after receive inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. When you're called by God, step out in faith and don't worry about where you're going. Step out in faith. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him on the same promise. Before you have seen what God has promised, be content. Rejoice and praise the Lord for living in tents in a strange country. Praise God for what you have. So many of us not content. I want this, I want that, I want this and that. Praise God for the clunker you're driving. Praise God for the good car if you got one. Praise God for the house you have or the apartment, whatever it is. Someday when the Antichrist comes with the mark of the beast, we all going to be homeless. And we're going to have to sleep in tents in the open sky. In the open sky. Be content. Thank God for what you have right now. Praise Him for what you have. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for that city? Are you looking for the city with eternal foundation? Keep your eyes upon Jesus and don't be distracted. Satan will always cause commotion on this earth. There's always going to be trials and difficulties. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. You're going to the eternal Jerusalem, the city with foundation. And then we read the next verse, 11. And I flipped over here. That's 11:11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Ladies, these were the days before they had C-sections. These were the days before they could do any surgery. Many women died in childbirth. If the child was breached, it did not come out right. And I want you to think about this. Sarah pushing in her 90s and pregnant. For the next 9 months, she must have thought, now how am I going to get this baby out? That's a fear that women have. Some women have difficulty. Sarah at this time also got her faith. And she believed, if God made me pregnant, he sure can deliver my baby. Amen? If God carried you so far, how many more years does God have to prove himself to you? Before you have faith and say, I believe God's going to take care of me until I go to meet with Jesus. I praise God with a revelation, huh? Now turn to Galatians chapter 6. That's Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians, the 6th chapter. This is the verses many of you have read before. I want to read it for the positive side today. That's Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God don't mock whatsoever man sows that should also reap. I like that. For he that sows to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I am sowing in the Spirit. Are you sowing in the Spirit? Then expect the harvest. Expect the harvest. Look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look upon that. Let not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. About 2-3 months ago, we had a man here from Canada, Eric. Eric came down here to spend a week to be delivered. And when Eric went back home, actually this took place before he came down here. I told him this. Have you prayed over your fields? He has 1,300 acres. He said, no, I have not done that. I said, have you taken dominion over your property? No, I haven't done that. I said, how about if you pray over this and expect God to bless you? He drove around his entire property, prayed over the property. He prayed when he put the seeds down. And now he has harvest. He had his harvest. And he told me this. This is the biggest crop he's ever had in his life. It is absolutely outstanding. Why? Because he turned around. He rededicated his life. He simply followed the instruction of the Bible. And God honored his faith. Now, expect miracles to happen. I shared it with some of this congregation, but I want to share it again with some of you new people. In 1989, I was diagnosed with cancer in my stomach. And I kind of didn't know what to do. I kind of just flipped from around and says, okay. So, they said, you know, we need you to go and take some x-rays and stuff like this. I took some x-rays. So I was hanging there, and they would take an x-ray. You hang up and down and sweep you around. The technician was a Christian. He said, oh, you're Pastor Terrell. I said, well, who are you? He said, I'm your radio listeners. I said, can you tell me, just between you and me, what do you see on these plates? He said, well, you got some problems. You got some lesions. You got some growth in your stomach. So he said, you know, you really need to take care of that. I said, okay. I had no fear. I was just astonished. So I was now going around the Maryland, you know, go to the doctors, you know, do this and that. So I went to the, made an appointment with the next doctor. So I got to this doctor's office, sitting in front of him, and he said, well, I looked upon your exodus and that. He said, the next procedure we're going to do is we're going to drop a little gadget into your stomach. It's a little camera. We're going to take pictures, and after that, we're going to have surgery. I said, okay. I said, now, this is where my Swedish comes in. I said, how much? And the doctor says, well, this procedure will be $5,000. I said, $5,000 for dropping that thing, taking some picture of my stomach? Now, you see, God had not been able to work with me in my faith radar, in my spirit. So he used my thinking about money. I snapped out of that. My wife was with me, and I simply said to the doctor, I said, well, doctor, I thank you for your advice, this and that, but I said, I got a better doctor. He said, who's that? I said, that's Dr. Jesus. Now, this father again was a Hindu. He was from India. So we walked out. Now, as I was walking out, I was thinking this. I know the x-rays tells me I got this. Now, I'm going to have faith and believe that God will touch me. I believe my life is not over. As I walked, I simply said, is God? Two things will happen. You will either heal me or I will go home to be with you. And I went back to my regular routine. And that was about 22 years ago. I totally healed. Now, I share that with you to simply say this. You cannot have my faith. I cannot have your faith. When you get a bad report from a doctor, when something happens, you lost a job, whatever it is, I cannot come and say, oh, I got a bucket of faith here. Here, I got faith here for you. Just help yourself. I can't do that. It's you and God. That's what happened to Abraham. And that's what God wants, just you and him. Turn back to Hebrews 11 there. And you read verse 12 through 19. Hebrews 11, 12 through 19. Therefore, spring there even a one, and him as good as dead, so men the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called a God, for he has prepared for them a city. There is a city prepared for you and me. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac should your seed be called. Account that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, for the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, there's a city, but now the desire of a better country, that is a heavenly where, for God is not ashamed to be called a God, for he has prepared for them a city. I am not happy with yesterday. I'm thankful for yesterday. But I cannot live on yesterday's blessings. I need a blessing today. I don't want to have the same faith today as I had yesterday. I want every day to grow a little bit more. A little bit closer to Jesus. More of Jesus. Every day. Now, if we are complacent, you see, is this going to be status quo? But if you have a desire, thank you, Lord, for today. But I want to have more faith tomorrow. I want to have greater things tomorrow. He will give that to you. But you see, if you simply says, well, you know, I'm tired. I don't know about this or that. You know, you just walk around, you know, another day, another dollar, like this. That's what your life's going to be. Just another day. Be excited. Have you ever seen a salesman coming to your door, dragging a vacuum cleaner with him, and saying, man, I'm so sorry that I'm burdening you, but I got this vacuum cleaner. Can I show that to you? You feel sorry for him. He holds it up and says, I don't know how it works. I never turned it on, but I sure like you to buy it from me. Would you say, oh, yes, how much is it? Only $900? Oh, that's a bargain. You and I walking around, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are wanting people to be saved. And we look like wet noodles and they're just wilting down like this, you know. And we're saying, oh, poor me, man, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, yeah, you know. Oh, by the way, would you like to accept Christ? And I said, well, why should I? Well, you know, I accepted Christ years ago. I don't see Christ did anything for you. We need a testimony, right? How do we have a testimony? When you men dated the girl that you married, what did you do when you got on a date? I tell you what you did. You took a shower first. Put some stuff under the arms. Got some nice clothes on. Fixed your hair. And when you came to her door, you knocked on the door and says, you know, hi, I'm here for a little date. You didn't say, you know, well, you know, I need to get married. And I need a wife. And I hate dating, you know. But anyway, get in the car. Let's go out and see what we can do. I'm bored. She would have got with you. You were excited. You got her excited. Shouldn't we be excited about Jesus? Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we had here today. And Lord, I want to thank you that you wrote the Bible, that Abraham did not write it. Because if Abraham would have written the Bible, he would have left out all the lying. And the tribe of Hagar, we would have never known that. He was written the good stuff. But Father God, we can see that this man that you honor as a father of faith, he had flaws, and yet you work with him. That gives us hope. That gives us comfort that we are not perfect, but you would work with us too. Thank you, Lord, for touching us today with your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just praise you for that right now. And if you're watching and you're not saved, and you says, well, I'm not even saved. What do I get in? Right now, you simply say this, my Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. God, I'm a sinner. I believe. I repent of my sins right now. Come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I surrender to Jesus. He will save you. Then call us, write us. Let us minister to you. The elders are going to be here, and the altars are open right now. If you have a need today, you might be sick. You want to rededicate your life. You want more power, whatever it is, you come. Sister Carol, you come and stand here. So one of our deacons. And as we sing, they will pray with you, anoint you with oil, and minister to you. Whatever God has been speaking to you, the altars have opened. You come in Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the sixth part in the series, Walking in Faith, and was entitled, The Man That Walked into the Future. We know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, so when Abraham heard the stories of all that God had done from Adam down to Noah, he received it in faith. Abraham was a man of God, but the Bible also lays out the good and the bad, which included Abraham and Sarah's lies, and their unbelief concerning the child of promise. But God did not abandon them, and visited Abraham twice to build up his faith so that when he faced the ultimate test of sacrificing Isaac, he obeyed the command even though he didn't know the purpose. All the lies, fear, and unbelief had been replaced with absolute faith in God. This is why the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. It is likely you will also face a similar test in your life. Don't get discouraged. Just remember to step out in faith and keep your eyes upon Jesus. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1308. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.